It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hands.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT.
No worry.
Got the gospel
be all right.
Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Give the Lord another hand of praise like we mean it today. Hallelujah. The Lord's up experience. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to hear your word speak to our hearts, minister to our spirit man. Meet us in the text, tell of the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might know, God, that you know all things. You know best. You know us. Now, God, we pray that as we hear your word, we'll heed your word, obey your word, honor your word. And Lord God, I pray that this world should go forth, and as this word goes forth, it will unlock every chain, every bondage, every cell that is hindered now, bound now, oppressed, depressed now, that have missed the mark, fallen short, that you would demonstrate this amazing grace to us, Lord. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our time is far spent this morning. I want to hurriedly call your attention to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, which says, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. I am waiting on you. Now, what are you going to do? I am waiting on you. Now, what are you going to do? There are four important truths about God that are stated here in this verse. They concern the patience of God, the pity of God, the purity of God, and the promise of God. And as we look at this word, I mean, I don't have the time to go as in-depth as I'd like to, but I would like you to understand there are some basic truths, some basic principles in these four captions I've given you to help guide your attention to understanding that God has made this declaration to the believer. God speaking historically to Israel, pragmatically to every believer, says that he is waiting on you. Amen. Now, the patience of God is so important. The Lord will wait that he may be gracious unto you. Can you think back in your own life about how God has waited on you to do or not do a thing? Can you think back in your own life that if God had not been patient, that life as you know it today wouldn't be life? Can you look back in your past? Might be in your youthful days, might be in your teen, young adult days, might be in your middle age, might be even in your late years in life. But can you look at instances, circumstances, situations, and can I include sin? That God has been patient with you. And you told God a long time ago, Lord, I quit. You told God a long time ago, Lord, I ain't going to do this no more. I know I'm not the only one who's ever lied to the Lord like that, but you don't have to be honest. I'm just talking about me right now. Has there ever been a time in your life that you thought you had the strength to turn? You thought you could do this thing on your own. You thought that because your heart in that moment was right, that you didn't have to worry about the enemy attacking you ever again in this or that area or this situation or that situation, but you found out that it wasn't so. And yet God was patient with you. And how impatient we are with other folk. God has been patient and gracious and lenient and kind, and yet somebody messes up one time, we're ready to jump on them, we're ready to crucify them, we're ready to kick them out, we're ready to turn our backs on them. But look again at what this word says. He says that he's going to be patient. It says, therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. Is there a witness in the house that God's been gracious to anybody but John Montgomery? Gracious is our God. The patience of God is so important, my brother, my sister, that we must understand how God feels, and he wants to wait that he may be gracious unto us. But part of the grace of God is waiting for us, listen at this, to repent.
That's right. That's right.
Part of the grace of God is waiting for us to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I messed up. Not pointing the finger at somebody else, but saying, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Has anybody honestly known that God has been waiting for you to apologize, to repent, to ask his forgiveness before he cuts you off? I mean, and you know he's waiting on it. Because you got enough word in you to know that if you're wrong today, you're still wrong tomorrow. So just because another day passed and he allowed you to live another day, don't make it any easier or less offensive to God. If you messed up today, today is when he wants you to say, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. He's waiting for us to repent. Now listen to this. That's so that he doesn't bring down the wrath. He's given you a chance to get it together. He's given you a chance to turn around. He's given you a chance to let it go. He's giving you a chance to stand up. He's giving you a chance to get it right. So he doesn't have to punish you in this unrepented state. And some of us look at our lives and look at how long God has been patient. We might ask the question like Isaiah did, but somewhat twisted in another way. When Isaiah asked after volunteering for the job, he then asked, how long? Would he have to go through what he had to go through to do what he had to do? But sometimes we have to ask, how long will God be patient with us? You've been tipping out. But just hope death don't catch you while you're out. You've been sipping light. Just hope God don't catch you while you're in that state. And death comes and take you away. You know I could call all of the sins, but you know what your sin is. Because your sin may be very different from the person on the side of you, in front of you, or behind you. But you know, and more especially, God knows. And listen, and it ain't no new sin. This is some stuff you've been dealing with for a long time. And God is trying to say to you, repent. Get it right. Listen, the blessings that I really have reserved for you, I can't even let them fall. And I sure can't let them flow. Until you get it together. Until you repent. And so the patience of God has been kind to us because God wants us to be blessed. He's gracious to us. He shows his graciousness because he wants us to know that he has every right at any moment to bring judgment on us. But he's hoping that we get it together. Hoping you change your attitude. Hope you change the way you talk to other folks. Hoping you change the way you talk about other folk. Hoping you change your demeanor. Hoping you change how you interact with folk and call yourself a Christian. Hoping you'll change the words that come out of your... He is patient. But his patience doesn't last forever. His patience. We say, oh, yeah, Pastor, it must. No, because man don't live forever. In Genesis chapter 6, he gives the word for them to understand that they must know that man, God's spirit would not always strive with man. At that time, he gave them 120 years. Then the queen of Jezebel, the queen Jezebel, who had been given a time to repent, did not turn from her wicked ways and therefore suffered judgment. God is patient, but there is a limit to his patience. Let me just ask you one question. I'm going to move on to the next point. If God is not patient, my question is, would you have been as patient with somebody else as he's been with you? If you don't think that's patient, then you think about whatever it is that he's been the longest patient with you, that he has shown you the most grace with.
and then realize, could you be that gracious and patient with somebody else? And 9 out of 10 times the answer is no. So I can tell you, God's been mighty patient. So listen at this, because I want us to see again how this word moves forward and shares with us some things that I think is so important for the believer to understand. Well, when you understand that he is patient, the next thing you've got to know that he's not just patient, but the pity of God is one of the main reasons we've got the patience of God. Listen to what he says. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. We're still on the theme of God's marvelous grace. And we're told that it honors God to show mercy. And mercy will come when we honor God. We need mercy, for none of us have merit of our own to have any blessings from God in our land, in our bodies, in our finances, in any area of our lives without understanding. It's because God has shown us pity and mercy. Therefore, we are blessed not because we deserve it many times, but because God has shown pity. He's shown pity. He's shown pity because he knows us better than we know ourselves. Again, I go back to what I know all of us have said. How many times have you made God a promise you couldn't keep? Not because you didn't want to keep it, but you didn't have strength to keep it. He could have said, no, you made me a promise. But he showed pity. Pity on you. That's the kind of God we serve, who sees us, but he doesn't just see the outward parts of us. He knows the inward parts of us. He knows the real us. And when we begin to understand that God is saying that I am waiting on you now, what are you really going to do? How long are you going to think that you're fooling me? How long will you think that I don't know your heart and your inner thoughts? How long are you going to think that I don't know you're just dressed up going through the motions? That you're coming to church, but ain't no church coming in you. That you serve, but you're not serving with a sincere heart. You're serving to be seen. Or you want a position. Or you want to be elevated. Or you want the privilege and the profit that comes from being in that place. How long are you going to act like I don't know what's going on? What's going on? God knows what's going on. And thank God that he has pity enough on us. Damn it, I don't want no pity. You wouldn't be sitting here right now if you didn't have pity shown to you by God. Sometimes you think you're all of that, and God say, Lord, this pitiful. Let me have pity on them. Because pitiful is what they are. And so it is because we are full of God's pity that we are able to be here while we're stumbling, mumbling, rumbling, living life backwards. God is looking at the day when we'll turn around, get it right, walk straight, talk straight, live straight, be what he's called us to be.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know if we talk about the pity of God, but we've got to talk about the purity of God. Because don't think that just because he has pity, he doesn't have purity. Listen, the Lord is a God of judgment. A God of judgment. Now that's important for you to recognize, because if you don't realize that he's a God of judgment, then you would not know that he's a God of purity. God is a God of purity. Listen at this. The word judgment here speaks of righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. It tells us that God punishes sin and that he punishes it fairly. Unlike the courts in our land, who will put a punishment far greater than the crime dictated, God in his court always punishes fairly. As a matter of fact, because he is so just, and because he has to receive justice for injustice, he knew that the true just penalty for our sins could not even be paid for ourselves. So he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, who would be able to take on him the sins of all mankind and bring pardon and peace through the shedding of his own blood, so that he would stand in our position as sinners and we would stand in his position as sinless and receive the purity of God, the righteousness of God upon our lives, because Jesus paid it all. And so he had the penalty of sin and judgment paid in full by the only one who could pay it. No matter what God did to us, it would not be full payment in and of ourselves. And so Jesus had to step up to the plate, had to get in our position, had to take our punishment, and then pay our penalty to put us in right standing with a pure God. The purity of God is so important that you understand, my brothers and sisters, while it appears that he lets you get by, know this, according to the word, excuse me, you won't get away. Amen. The purity of God won't allow you to get away. And the only reason why it appears that you're getting by is because he's waiting on you to repent. Waiting on you to say, Lord, I want to get it together. I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to live as you desire me to live. To be everything that you have purposed me to be. He wants you to come to that reality. And then lastly, the promise from God. And it says, blessed are all they that wait for him. Blessed are all they that wait for him. The verse began with God waiting on us. But the verse ends where we're told to wait on God. And it's important for you to understand that connected with us waiting on God is a promise. Blessed. Happy, well adjusted, doing well are they that wait on God. Listen, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that I think is important for us to understand this is that they that wait on God,
again, God will bless for their weight. Now, I want you to get this, because if you get this, you're going to be all right. If you don't get it, you're going to stay messed up. Can I tell you, you never lose anything. You never lose nothing by waiting on God. I don't care how long it takes for him to show up. I can tell you that when he shows up, you're going to be blessed like you've never been blessed before by waiting on God. You say, but I'm getting old, and? Well, I don't have time, and? Well, I'm losing all of this, and I'm losing all of that, and? Let me tell you what he can do. He can reverse the effects of time. He can restore what the canker worm has eaten up. He can reproduce what you thought you lost in production. He can give to you more than you thought you lost. He can bring you back to full circle. As a matter of fact, he can leave you down so long till you think there's no way you can get on top. But the reason sometime he leaves you down so long is because all he has to do is flip the script. And while you're on the bottom now, God will flip your situation and place you on top if you just wait. I said, if you just wait. I said, if you just wait on the Lord. Give him praise in the house today. The doors of the church are open. He promises to bless those who wait on him. I know you may have been waiting a long time, but the Lord says, listen, listen, listen. I've not forgotten my promises to you. I've not forgotten my word to you. I'm still going to do what I told you to do. I'm still going to do what I told you I would do. You're going to have what I told you I was going to give you. Don't be in a rush. Don't think that God is a man that he should lie. You can't go wrong by waiting on God. God bless you. God bless you. Is there another today? Is there another today? This is your time. This is your time. Faithful is our God. Faithful is our God. God says, I'm waiting on you. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to repent? Are you going to say, Lord, enough is enough? I trust you. I believe you. Our last appeal. Our last appeal. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Sister Jessica.
And I tell you, God has got it. does, he does. Got this thing fixed. Listen, he'll wipe away your tears.